have a couple folks that are talking through a more formal agenda and then an open discussion towards the end of the call to get feedback and ideas from the folks that are interested in this topic. And we'll probably do a couple more of these leading up to the Paris Summit and make sure we're able to hear from all of you guys and also reach out to the broader community to just get your feedback on the value of the activity and the things, the kinds of things that we can be doing to help advance OpenStack. So I guess, Lauren, if you're okay, I'll go ahead and just kick things off.
Yeah, that's great.
Great. So I guess the idea for this emerged out of some conversations with Tim Bell over the past probably 6 to 9 months, where we have been talking a lot about the different kinds of users of OpenStack. And it's clear that the current user committee has been an incredibly valuable resource for folks that are taking OpenStack and turning it into products and operating OpenStack clouds, and has been a great resource for folks that are trying to do different things with OpenStack and make OpenStack solve problems for customers. As that has been successful, and we've seen Rackspace and HP and others, a lot of private companies have bought products from companies like Red Hat and Nebula Vista and built their own OpenStack clouds. We have this new class of users which have emerged who do not necessarily identify themselves as operators of OpenStack or users of OpenStack in the same sense that folks that are in the user committee do. There are folks that are, we call end users, or people that have access to an OpenStack cloud, maybe are building applications on top of OpenStack, and have a set of concerns which are arguably unique from the folks that are building those OpenStack and operating those OpenStack clouds. They're interested in interoperability. They're interested in whether the application they're building is able to run on top of OpenStack distribution that they've downloaded, an OpenStack distribution from Red Hat or perhaps a public cloud instance of Red Hat. And they don't really have a lot of influence with the operator necessarily. So they might be employees of a company that has OpenStack, or they might be just users of an HP OpenStack cloud, for example. And these end users have a set of concerns which I think will be increasingly important to the success of OpenStack. If you go to the Amazon Web Services reInvent conference, which has become a very successful event for end users of Amazon, you have a whole ecosystem that has emerged around AWS, and you have a lot of people that are using AWS to build applications. A great example of this is Netflix and the whole Netflix OSS toolkit, which Adrian Cockcroft and others have shared with the world and open sourced to help people building applications on clouds really get the most out of the cloud, the features and the benefits of a cloud system. So Tim and I discussed the best way to give a voice to this community within the broader OpenStack community, and we both agreed that if we were to create a formal board process or attempt to kind of do anything too procedural here, it would be somewhat of an impedance mismatch to the spirit and the kind of culture within the OpenStack community. So what we agreed to do was create a working group and just solicit people's ideas, work with the foundation and the user committee, which is a formal part of the OpenStack foundation and governance process, and just start to identify activities at the OpenStack summits, activities, perhaps things that the OpenStack board can keep track of, and as we make investments and decisions, strategic decisions about where to put resources from the foundation, we can have a view towards this growing community of end users of OpenStack. So that's basically the intro. We view these end users as developers, as as people that are able to use OpenStack as an end user but are not able to make any decisions about the way OpenStack is operated, the code or the hardware or the infrastructure is something that has, these are decisions that have been made for them. They're literally at the whim of whatever product or service that they're using. And this effort is an effort to give these end users a voice. And this is something that dovetails with some activities that are already going on within the foundation. So I wanted to give Lauren an opportunity to discuss some of the activities that the foundation is planning. And then Tom Field will be able to communicate a little bit about some of the strategies that we're using, that we're thinking about using to engage the rest of the community. And then what we wanted to do is just reach out to all of you guys and get a sense of, you know, is this a valuable activity? Are there things we're missing? And are there ideas that you have, or if you're interested in helping out and participating, we're really excited to get you guys involved in this effort. So I'll turn it over to Lauren.
Sure, thanks. Unfortunately, I think Tom is having trouble getting on the conference line so that he's able to speak. I think he can just hear it through his computer speakers. Is that still the case, Tom?
Yeah, that's the case.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Oh, fantastic. That's really good. Hi, everyone. That's Tom.
Excellent. Well, I didn't want to. Tom's been doing, you know, pretty much all of the legwork from our side, so I don't want to speak for him in terms of some of the activities that we've been already working on, but maybe I'll just kind of tee it up to the first thing that we really worked on, I guess, earlier this year, and I also want to give credit to Everett Taves from Rackspace for helping spearhead this, but we added an app developer section to the user survey. So we started to collect data along those lines and, you know, ask questions that are specific to end users. And that's really our attempt as well to build out a database for this group. So that was kind of the first step that we took earlier this year. And Tom and Everett and some other folks in the community also worked on building out developer.openstack.org, which lists out the different SDKs that you can use and brings together information that's useful for these end users, and I know there's some other documentation efforts that have been underway as well. So I don't know, Tom, if you want to expand on any of that work that you've been doing so far.
Oh, yeah, and so one of the other areas that I got involved in is we basically, thanks to building the work at Everett Good, we identified all of the SDKs that support OpenStack that are actually still alive, because there's a couple of them out there which no longer really exist, and basically got in contact with the development communities and just asked them a few questions, like, you know, we're here from upstream, how do we make your lives easier, what's going wrong right now, and, you know, do you have any fantastic use cases? And I'm not sure if Chris mentioned this or not already, but we have difficulty contacting this group of end users directly, because they're typically second order to our community rather than active direct participants. And so basically one of the ways that I think we can get in contact with them is through their SDK developers. And I know that we'll speak a bit more about the idea that Lauren had to talk to our existing operator community to talk to their users a bit later. So we've been doing that. Anne Gentle and the documentation team has been fantastic in terms of making that home for developers, and particularly looking at our Python API users and making things easier for them, as well as the API reference, which is a comprehensive guide of everything that's available in the OpenStack API. So that's just a rough edge view of the kind of things that have been going on so far, but hopefully this group is going to kick it to the next level.
Yeah, and kind of to add to that, going forward, some of the ideas we've been considering and some of what's in action at this point is, as Tom mentioned, you know, we have a pretty decent database at this point of people who are operating OpenStack clouds, And, you know, we've been building out our case studies around that and building relationships with these folks. So we're starting to go back to them and saying, hey, you know, we know that we have a relationship with you, and we've built out this case study about how you've deployed OpenStack and how you've gotten your cloud up and running. But, you know, could you connect us with your internal customer, the end user, and could we get their perspective of, you know, what their experience is, what really matters to them? So we're just kind of getting that effort underway and really just trying to gather information and as much input as possible. And then the other piece to that is at the last summit we ran, or actually at the last two summits, but it really expanded at the last summit, we ran an apps on OpenStack track, and that's built out even larger for the Paris summit. I think there's somewhere around 13 sessions that are going to be about targeting OpenStack Cloud. So really, again, targeted at this audience. But yeah, all of those efforts are underway, and I think, you know, we'd love to have participation from anyone in the community who's interested, you know, more ideas and just to get involved to help those efforts along.
Yeah, so I'm noticing a couple of folks that have joined, Warren Volkman from HP. Warren was involved in one of the follow-on discussions after our last board meeting. One of the largest users of OpenStack actually is HP printers. And so HP both has a public cloud, but they also have a lot of devices that connect to their cloud. And so this is a great example of HP being represented as an OpenStack operator and having a voice within the OpenStack user committee in that context, but then having a completely different view from the perspective of an end user trying to consume that HP service and also wanting to participate in the OpenStack community. So I guess that's a great example. Warren's got a team of folks at HP that are very interested in participating in this effort. Dave Nielsen is also on the call today. Dave's been very instrumental here in the Bay Area in organizing a lot of the community events around this and is really excited to get involved in this effort to try to help catalyze this small but growing community of end users and give them a platform to communicate. And then what I'm really interested in is just getting feedback from the folks we don't know about here. So there's some new names, folks that I haven't yet had an opportunity to meet. So I guess what I'd like to do now is perhaps just turn the call over to some of the other folks that chose to join into the call today and just hear from you on the value of this effort and what you might contribute to the conversation.
Chris, this is Warren Volkman. I'd like to say the real power here at HP in the printer division is somebody who's just popped on again, Evan Chesley. I'm the writer working with Evan Chesley. So when it comes to use cases, I'm the writer who you can put on actually capturing the use cases. But for this conversation, he's done a blog about user land, as he calls it. The person here at HP's printer divisions is Evan Chesley. Evan, are you?
Yes, I am on. Sorry about that, guys. I was just playing with meeting burner and getting used to it. I also want to hear from some of the other names, folks that haven't already been involved, but just briefly to kind of put my stake on this. We do have a lot of colleagues in HP who are focusing on OpenStack and making, you know, what we call Helion into a product and a service and, you know, making money on it. I'm really literally not in that business. I'm in the printing side and have been playing the role of the loud and angry customer who just wants it to work so I can run, you know, enterprise apps on it. And along the way, you know, had a great couple of years figuring all that out and kind of making noise and just now starting to understand what does it mean to participate in the broader community, because this isn't championing this message on behalf of HP. You know, we'll figure that out ourselves. But I'm, you know, not part of that business, so I'm free to just kind of jump in and play sort of a free agent role, just trying to add some help and energy. And what I'm seeking, and this is just sort of like the agenda that I would say kind of abstractly and naively, is just more conversations and presentations at the summit, like Lauren's saying, is already part of the structure going into Paris, around end user stories. I love that there's that track. You know, I submitted my own talk into the track for consideration. And hopefully there will be more true application owners, you know, developers or integrators, even folks who don't code, but understand what it means to, you know, deploy an app and run an app and scale an app on top of a cloud, you know, sharing their notes about OpenStack, because it seems like it's the next frontier in kind of unexplored growth and challenges. So hopefully more attendees focusing on that interest, you know, attending those talks, and then more speakers. So whatever we can do to foment energy in that direction, that's what I'm here to cheerlead for.
Thanks, Ken. I didn't see you on the line there, or I would have called you out there as well.
No, no worries. No worries.
I also noticed Sahel Sayed joined from Intel, and Sahel had reached out to me last night with an eye to kind of getting Intel more involved in this. So, Sahel, do you want to
Yeah. So, first of all, Chris, thanks for setting this up. This is close to my heart. I'm kicking off a developer program here at Intel focused on OpenStack, and my goal here is to, you know, help traditional IT developers modernize enterprise apps. This is all towards making the goal, reaching the goal of making OpenStack enterprise ready. And it's sort of a bit of having to tail wag the dog. If you build it, they'll come. If you can convince developers that there's a way for them to derive functionality and revenue streams where they can take their app and scale it via cloud-aware app across clouds anywhere in the world, it's a great story for them to achieve. And I'm trying to put together a program that will, you know, help accelerate that. I'm looking for partners. I'm already collaborating with HP on one side. But I believe that all OpenStack, to get OpenStack to finally deliver for the promise, more developers developing cloud confident work. In my view of the world here in the cloud, I see the apps really driving infrastructure going forward, and empowering them through the different layers of the cloud, allowing them to deliver services that were not possible before. Is something that I really want to investigate, and I hope this group, with this group, you know, we can achieve that.
Excellent. So, I guess there's a lot of folks we haven't heard from yet. So, is there anyone else on the line that wants to participate or comment on this?
Sure. Hello. Hello.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so my name is Rumer Abuse. I work for Rackspace. I'm a developer advocate for the developer relationships group. I work with alongside Everett. And then this is something that we fiercely, you know, like believe on. We passionately believe on the end user experience, the end developer experience. And this is crucial, in my opinion, I guess, in many people's opinion, I guess, to, you know, the long-term viability and of OpenStack, right? You cannot view your whole, you know, whether it's, you want to call it marketing or you want to call it, you know, your story just to, you know, cloud operators or like cloud makers, so to speak, right? You want to go and reach out to, you know, application developers first and foremost, and maybe the, you know, CIOs and that type of people who are also making decisions. And, you know, from being a, I'm going to call myself an OpenStack newbie, you know, the first few months were really, really rough. I mean, like the user experience, the developer experience is very, very rough when you are brand new to it. You know, you just, I have a series of ideas that I have submitted a talk for the Paris, summit. Hopefully it'll get selected, you know. But if not, that's okay. I'll still fight for this because I truly believe in this. You know, there's a host of issues that could be fixed starting from the website itself. You know, like just as a new user, as a developer, where do I go? I mean, I just look there and then just a bunch of needed recaps and code names for products that I don't even know what they mean. And, you know, it wasn't the most straightforward experience. And, again, I'm not an ops guy or even a DevOps guy. You know, I'm a straight up developer. And then, a developer in my role as a developer advocate, I want to make that experience a pleasant one for all the end users who are interested in this. And, Another thing that I've noticed with opportunities that Rackspace has given me to attend different conferences is, speaking with other developers and then many of them not knowing what OpenStack is. Some of them knew what it was, or they had a vague notion of what it was, and some of them have absolutely no idea what it is. When you tell them, oh, it's all this open source cloud, the layer, the whole cloud infrastructure layer and all that stuff, they know what I'm talking about, but they didn't know, of course, what OpenStack was. And I think one way to do that is we need to reach out to them, whether it's through the SDK developers or whether it is ourselves going, to a little more, have a better presence, perhaps if it's, obviously budget constraints. But, going to conferences that are not the summit and, having a small presence there, having being an independent voice, right? Like, it's fine that our users, HP, Rackspace, IBM, et cetera, are championing OpenStack. But, maybe OpenStack in and of itself should have, even if it's just a little presence, just to have a way to saying, we're vendor non-specific. This is what we stand for, and this is the services we offer, and that type of thing. So, before I get myself deeper into trouble, I guess I should let somebody else speak about this who is just as passionate as I am, I suppose.
And let me ask your name, then. I missed your name at the start of the exchange.
Oh, my name is Ruben Orduz.
Got it. Thank you, Ruben.
I was just going to say that that's fantastic feedback. And one of the other things that I'm going for a little bit of a foray into later this year is I'm actually going to be attending some very strictly developer-only conferences that we have over here in Asia just because I'm located here. We've got one big one in Japan and one in Korea, and I've been invited to talk about OpenStack. And so I'm very interested in kind of from your perspective, assuming that you would be a developer attendee at a developer conference, what kind of angle on OpenStack would you like to see as your first introduction?
As a developer, if I wouldn't have known anything about OpenStack, right? Like, putting my novice hat on, and then I would say, I would come by your booth. Let's say that you had one person in your booth, and I would ask you, hey, what's OpenStack? Then I guess the first thing that you would say is just, we are we make the software that, the HP, Rackspace, IBM, et cetera, they all run their public clouds on, It's just, we make this thing. We make from everything, from the object store, to the compute things, from the queues and everything else, all of the services, we make this thing. That's a powerful message right there. Like, we are the actual people who make this thing happen for all of these huge name providers. To me, that is a big hook right there.
I think to dovetail on some of the earlier comments around a developer's experience, when they first start to build on OpenStack, we've heard, and this is kind of an admission of a fault from a vendor with the customer hat on for a second, when you go and you start to build applications on top of OpenStack, right now, today, it matters who you bought it from. If you're using a Rackspace cloud or an HP cloud or a Nebula appliance, we're guilty of shipping a set of documentation which attempts to augment and or cross-link existing documentation on the OpenStack website because it's not that it's incomplete, but it's just not presented to end users in a way which is easy for them to understand the relationship between OpenStack and these products. And I think this isn't a concern that operators have because they think they've written up documentation and they're done. But as an end user, you might be using two OpenStack-powered clouds, and you might care about the differences or might care about the subtle subtleties that you only care about if you're trying to actually use it. And I think this is feedback that by using this working group and this community to collect this feedback from our users and we can provide this back to the operators, this will be helpful to them as they attempt to build great products that provide great experiences for developers and the end users. And that's just one example of things we could do here with this group.
Hey, this is Suhail. I switched to my handset. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, it's much better.
Okay, sorry about the last time. But the other piece of feedback I've also gotten is that developers are looking for content. They're looking for cookbooks, how to guides, steps, best known practices to follow to help them code better, to take advantage of all of the capabilities on OpenStack.
Yeah, there have been a number of us approached by O'Reilly and probably the foundation as well. I mean, this could be a way for us to organize a group of folks to help author or point publishers to some authors that could help work on something like that as a potential output. OpenStack Developer Guide. Excellent. So,
it is.
Anyone else that hasn't spoken yet?
Yes, this is Andrew Mitchell from Comcast. So, I'm still probably coming from the operator side. I definitely want to loop in some of our internal customers. But kind of one of the questions I had is, like, a lot of our major tenants or customers, internal customers, leverage like Fog or JCloud. And how are we thinking, to bring that piece into the mix, right? So they're considering most of their interaction is actually with a library like that rather than directly with our cloud, right? So I'm just kind of throwing that out. Like, I also have several different pools of users, so I want to make sure that I'm getting a cross-representation pulled into it, right? The smaller user is very different than the large-scale user.
Well, I think that's a great this group is for them. So this would be ideally a group where you could invite them to participate and give them a forum to participate in the community, because I think if you were to send them to the existing OpenStack Design Summit and user group, they would find themselves in an environment where they're being told, well, you can just change the setting in OpenStack, and their perspective would be, well, I can't. Someone else does that for me.
Sure.
I'm just a user.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll work on getting a couple guys looped in from our various projects.
That would be fantastic. And as you think about something you'd be comfortable looping them into, how would you like to see this group manifest itself as a coordinated effort at the design summits, as a website they could go to, as a conference call they can call into? What do you think would be most useful to connect to this audience and from a Comcast perspective?
So, some of them might come out to the summit, but I think if a conference call or some of the other group chat and mailing list type stuff might be a good forum as well to kind of get them interested before the summit, right? I don't think probably right now only maybe one or two of my customers out of a few hundred are actually planning to come to the OpenStack Summit. So I think some kind of forum that they can engage in. And also maybe, like, a lot of them go to the local meetups. So maybe in the long run, a kind of, a theme that kind of crosses across the, we have meetups for East Coast, so D.C., Philly, New York, that type of stuff. Something we could invite them to and tell them, hey, this OpenStack meetup day is actually focused on the end user.
And Intel would be very glad to help there organize some of these.
Do you think if there was a track within the summit that was really focused on this community of end users, it would increase the utility and the value of having some of these folks participate in the design summit?
Well, I think it will be helpful. I think there is a big issue with the price of attendance. For an individual who is not sponsored by their, by their employers, other than, landing some sort of sponsorship or some sort of financial aid, it would be price prohibitive to go. Well, even if it was in Atlanta, you know, like I believe last year the tickets for the whole week were like $2,500 or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's a huge barrier for a user who is not sponsored to attend.
Got it.
Hey, this is Jonathan Bryce. I just wanted to mention a couple of things. I think this is all really good feedback. I think that along those lines, you know, one thing that we've heard from a lot of the end users that I've talked to is, I mean, the tickets to the summit are actually $600, not $2,500, but the, you know, to get to the summit, it definitely costs thousands of dollars to have airfare and hotels. And for, you know, a lot of these companies, like Andrew was saying, you know, they can only, that they aren't going to send their entire development staff to events like this. But I think it was interesting what Andrew was saying, that they go to local meetups, and maybe one of the, you know, I think that probably as we get this set up and we get a mailing list and some meetings and everything, if we start thinking about kind of the output that this group could do, one of the things that we've done a few times that's been pretty effective is put together kind of like a content packet basically for user groups, it's something where we'll put together like some presentations and some materials, and then we basically ship that out to our 70 plus user groups around the world, and we can have like a day we do it around the birthdays, we've done it around bug fixes and different things like that, and we have a week or a month where basically every user group around the world focuses on a specific topic. And so that might be fun to have a set of output to put together like a content packet for user groups, and then that could be developed further into some of these other materials for the websites and even, book publishing and that kind of thing. I think that's a really interesting point that you bring out there, Andrew. The other thing I was going to mention, I don't know if you were on earlier when Tom was talking, about some of the activities that we've, put in motion in the last couple of months, but one of the things that Tom has been doing is reaching out directly to those SDK maintainers like Fog and LibCloud and JCloud, and so we've been starting to build relationships with them and kind of get their feedback on the OpenStack APIs and how well integrated they are, and if there are things that we can do to get them hooked into the process. Because again, that's something that we've heard from, I think we actually, you and Lauren and I talked about that at the OpenStack in Action in Paris, but we've heard that a lot of people do have those abstraction layers in there, and so we want to make sure that we have good integration with them. One of the interesting, one of the interesting things about that is as we've talked with them, we found that they've been extremely happy to have us reach out, because some of the other communities that they work with are a lot less, they're not as open and kind of easy to get involved with. So, we're going to keep working that from the foundation perspective, and if that's something that you or your users want to get involved in, I'm sure that, you know, that's something that it would be another avenue for involvement there.
That sounds awesome. That's perfect. I mean, I think for our larger users, that's definitely a good fit. And then what you guys are talking about with this effort for our smaller, which we have a lot more of, right, users, this would make a lot of sense.
And one thing I'll just add to what Jonathan said is that just to tie in our work with guys working on abstraction layers, is we've mentioned before that it would be fantastic if we could have cookbooks or how-tos to get started and make the ramp to get on a little bit easier. And I think we should probably acknowledge that as our OpenStack community, we probably don't have enough people to actually make those cookbooks for every single language out there. Considering that we've probably got users working on SDKs in 10 or 15 languages. So one of the things that we might consider with this group is to do that for Python and then hand those over to all of those folks working on abstraction layers, and they can convert it into their particular language. Yeah, I also really enjoy working with meetup groups, so thank you.
Along those lines, another interesting idea would be to curate heat templates for a suite of applications that are typically associated with early adopters of private cloud or public cloud technologies. One of the things that we found is customers, what tends to slow them down is they're having to figure out the same stuff, you know, as they figure out a way to make an application run on an OpenStack cloud. And this, one of the things this working group could potentially do is organize an effort around curating a set of those application templates, which I think could foster adoption of OpenStack as users, and even all the companies that implement OpenStack products and services could link into that library. So it could be a web service hosted by OpenStack.org where you could pull in a set of sample heat templates to kind of jumpstart configuration of popular applications that are typically run in private clouds or public clouds.
And I was trying to also make the point earlier about when we deal with the developers, we want to encourage them to build from the scratch cloud-aware apps that can run on multiple clouds and written such a way that they can evolve.
I was going to make a comment too, like, you know, there are developers, plenty of developers who are also, you know, like hardware, they're interested in the hardware aspect as well. While there might not be ops or interested in ops or DevOps or whatever, they still, you know, they like to hack the hardware, different hardwares and stuff. And one of the things that I myself have gone through, and some friends that I've, you know, kind of used as guinea pigs as well, is to the difficulty on installing DevStack, you know, which is supposed to be the easiest way to get a mini OpenStack cloud running. And even then, it's just, you know, people just, including myself again, like, strike out, you know, you just try it a few times until, you know, think, you know, the glance doesn't work or the image store doesn't work, and then the instances are not spun up and the errors are cryptic, so it becomes, you know, like a bit of a frustration point. I think that's another thing that we need to address. We need to make sure that that's a product that we're going to release to the public, intended towards beginners, you know, like, it needs to be also, I mean, I wouldn't say one click or click, and, you know, like, you know, plug and play, because that's a little too, you know, the complexity of it might be too much. But it needs to be a streamlined process, and it needs to be backed by extremely accessible documentation. Like, it's got to be something that I follow the directions, and in theory, that should happen in my machine, you know, like, even beginning from the requirements, right?
Yeah, that's a very good point, and that's something that I, in Intel, am trying to create an implementation guide that kind of tries to go through the steps, exactly like you mentioned, for a you know, plain vanilla installation. What does it take? How hard is it? What are some of the, you know, obstacles? And it's a series of steps. I'm trying to put together an implementation guide that I can share with developers.
Would having something prepackaged be of any benefit there? I mean, I know we've got developers right now, because a lot of our development community uses DevStack heavily, and they have a common desire to have it easily installable so they can use it to test making changes and other things. And I know some of them have started to put together, like, Docker containers, basically, of prepackaged DevStack installations. I mean, with something that someone could download and then fire up under Docker or whatever and have a working DevStack already there that's pre-configured, that then they can go in and tweak or test their application against the API that it presents, whatever be a potential solution to that use case?
That would be fantastic. I mean, like, that would be definitely a great step in the right direction. Okay, whether it's you know, whether it's an Ubuntu and, you know, like apt-get type of install, or whether it is some sort of Docker thing that you can just, you know, spin them up fairly quickly. Anything that reduces the friction of adoption, right? Like, these are things that, you know, there's a point of that when, you know, frustration overtakes curiosity, right, in a curve, and then the curiosity goes away, and then it's just frustration, and then they abandon, you know, even attempting to understand what's going on. So this would definitely be incredibly helpful, in my opinion.
Okay. I'll see what additional options we can come up with there as well.
Is that Jonathan speaking?
Jeremy. Is there anyone else on the line that hasn't had an opportunity to speak?
This is Dave Nielsen. I thought I'd follow up on a comment made earlier about what can be done to reach customers who are not going to attend the conference in Paris. And I was one of those who wasn't able to go to Hong Kong last year, and decided that perhaps a good way to participate remotely was to have a local user group meetup. So I'm one of the co-organizers of the SFA OpenStack meetup group. And so I organized one that week and made it a sort of a demo of apps that run on OpenStack, and it was quite popular, and so I've thought of organizing more of those perhaps for the upcoming summit.
What's the meetup called?
Well, it's the SF Bay, it's basically the San Francisco Bay Area OpenStack meetup group. It's
okay, no, I've been attending that. I just didn't realize you had one specifically for apps.
Oh, yeah, we did that during the week of during the OpenStack Summit Week.
Okay.
So we'd only done one of these. And I talked about doing more of them, but quite frankly, the challenge I run into is when I've done some consulting for over at HP, and there's just a lot of interest in installing OpenStack, but there hasn't been as much interest in the next step, which is, you know, getting developers to build apps. And you know, I'm really glad to see this group taking that interest, because content is king. Applications are content. Without content,
yeah,
OpenStack doesn't do a whole lot.
Yeah.
I also think broadly, if this group doesn't succeed, OpenStack doesn't succeed. If we don't have a community of end users which is 100 times bigger than a community of operators, then OpenStack has not achieved its calling. So, you know, I do envision a day where there's a summit that is one of the largest summits in the world, where users of OpenStack come together and talk about the applications and the whole ecosystem around being a user of OpenStack. And I don't really care who wins that battle, whether that's, you know, HP or Rackspace or Red Hat or Nebula or whatever. If we all, as members of this community, do our jobs and build great products and build great services based on OpenStack, we'll have a huge community of end users. And I'm personally interested in this, being involved from the very beginning. We now have products that people can buy where we can make it very easy for this problem to exist, where when you buy a product from us, you now have this huge community of end users that, as a company, we either have to solve that problem, and Red Hat has to solve that problem. If we all start solving this problem individually with companies, we'll create a nightmare for end users, because we'll all be creating documentation, and we'll all be creating different ways to run applications. And I think if the foundation and the OpenStack community can step in here before it's too late and figure out a way to accelerate and harness the power of OpenStack and the community around OpenStack to leverage kind of our mutual interest in getting this right, I think it could perhaps save years in the adoption cycle of OpenStack. And that's kind of our, that's my personal interest and our corporate interest in this. It's just a matter of how can we just make this easier for end users? Because making it easier for end users will get more customers, will get more people using our products and other products within from other vendors in the community.
Yeah, there's always the danger of fragmentation. So
yeah.
And you mentioned end users, application deployers, et cetera, attending a conference centered around that. I mean, a good model for that on a smaller scale is a lot of the open content management platform communities where they have conferences, and yes, the core developers who are writing and releasing the back end for that platform do go to the conferences, and it's just admins who are deploying and managing the life cycle of, you know, whatever those platforms are running on, go to those conferences. But the bulk of the people attending those conferences are people who are using that software to manage content or to, you know, write interesting web applications, and they want to talk about what new features they're interested in seeing in the software and, you know, what's coming down the pipe from the current development community and all that. You know, that's the same sort of thing that we ultimately need to see for OpenStack, I think.
Yeah, 100% agree. You know, and my history in OpenStack has never been in writing code to support it. It's been in, hey, what does this thing need to be? What does it need to do? What does it need to enable? And I think if we can kind of bring that community of people together that are trying to use this thing, the question will be, as we have more meetings and more conversations about this, how do we give that feedback to the foundation, and what can the foundation do to help? What does the board of directors need to do to help? What do companies need to do? And what are the systems and processes and whatever tools we can put in place to make sure the voices are heard? Because there should be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of these voices, and we're not going to be able to do it one person at a time and one conversation at a time. We're going to have to figure out new tools to, I think early in the conversation, people talked about the second order customer. Problem is, we don't have direct access to these people in a lot of cases. Nebula, and I'm from Nebula, I founded Nebula, we protect these people because they're our customers. We need to figure out the appropriate balance between giving that feedback that's so critical to making OpenStack the cloud platform of future, and the commercial interests of these products and services. And perhaps there's a technology solution to that. Perhaps there's a cultural solution to that. I don't know. Well, but this is the group that needs to help figure that out so that we're not developing in a vacuum without listening to this community of end users.
This is Warren. I'd like to add an image that has stayed with me since I worked with Evan on his blog. We were trying to figure out how do you draw the difference between a super user, as Jonathan described at the last summit, and an end user. And I came up with the idea of a farmer at a cloud seeding convention. Now, you can have a whole bunch of pilots and chemical companies all getting together for a big convention about cloud seeding. But until you have farmers coming in, because they know that that's how they can get the rain to fall on their crops, you're really not going to have a long-term viable business. Long-term viability for cloud seeding is farmers with wallets who are ready to pay for cloud seeding. We need to find those farmers, those developers, who are interested in coming in. And any other examples of analogies that we can use to help show the kinds of end users in different industries, I think will help us in trying to show the usefulness of getting end users to the summit.
Interesting. A parallel to that is just the example that Amazon has done with reInvent and the conference there. It's so focused on end users. It's kind of, I don't know. This is something I think about of how they built that community nicely.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I know we're coming to the end of the hour, so
what we'll try to do in the next 24 hours or so is pull together all the feedback we've gotten here. If anyone has any final comments, it would be great to contribute them, and we'll send an email out to the user committee mailing list that kind of summarizes some of the things we've discussed on the call today. And then we'll try to schedule another one of these in case folks weren't able to make this one. And then I'll follow back up with Tom Field and Lauren from the foundation to discuss if there's anything we can do between now and the Paris Summit. And I know there's been some discussion about pulling a small end user developer focused event together, perhaps in the Bay Area in the next couple of months. But we'll definitely include this group and try to get a more regular call scheduled as an outcome from this.
Chris, I was just going to second that. I was going to say that when we did the first Ops Mid-Cycle Meetup, I think it really got traction for that track, and we found it really useful. So maybe what you just suggested would be actually really good to have something kind of before the summit to kind of get traction there as well.
Okay.
I have one comment, which is just about exactly what an end user is. Because I think there's a danger for this group to spiral out wildly in terms of scope. For example, one end user that I could consider being in the end user category that I don't think we want to cover is someone uploading the virtual machine image to OpenStack. I think this group is much more focused on application developers. What do you think?
Mostly agree. Perhaps what we could do is to this list of folks who participated, we could circulate a proposed definition that we can all maybe. I don't want to create any conflict around the other efforts, well-intended efforts around the enterprise effort or the existing user committee effort, and create any confusion, because I think that's the best way to slow this down. So perhaps I could distribute a draft. Summary of what we think is in scope here, and just get everyone's feedback on that.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
So I didn't have an opportunity to do a quick introduction, and I've submitted a request to be added to your distribution group, but my name is Amina. And I work in an interesting role where I'm a part of the infrastructure team, but we work closely and with the DevOps and application developers, as well as the ultimate end users who actually do spin up their virtual machines via Horizon or whatever UI. So our team is responsible for engagement while we sit on the team that builds the infrastructure. So we kind of have access and visibility to a number of angles of people who are interested or use or interface with OpenStack. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and probably he get some useful scenarios and use cases from people we interact with on a daily basis.
Excellent. Yeah, I think what we're really focused on here is folks that are building things, running things, but have no ability to actually make changes to OpenStack. So they're not the operators. If they can go and make any changes to the configuration of OpenStack directly, or the infrastructure, the hardware, the settings and the configuration directly, then they're an operator. These are folks who, like Amazon Web Services end users, they can't go in there and make those changes. So that's the intent is to give that group a voice and also represent concerns that might drive multi-cloud interoperability and portability that operator might not be concerned with for the success of OpenStack.
So where we sit, that's we call them our build and release team. So they can't do and change anything on the cloud, but they actually do deploy the apps there. And so we have a vantage point from them as well. I love my position that I'm in, because I can see it from all angles. So We work with build and release teams daily.
Great. And that's, by the way, just an assertion. We're very interested in getting that, the whole, everybody's interested in getting their voice in and making sure we get a really good, solid definition here, to Tom's point.
Amina, which company are you with?
I'm with Wells Fargo.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, I guess we're at the end of our hour. Thank you all for participating today. Jonathan or Lauren, did you want to have any final comments?
No, I don't have anything else. Thank you, everyone who participated. It's great feedback.
Good night, guys.
So we'll follow up. We'll get notes out. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.